Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, so blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. Mother Valerie is here to join me today. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor.
Doing rainy
good.
Day. A rainy day today.
The thunder is
thunder and lightning this morning woke me up about 3 this morning. But you know what? All I can say was God is cleansing the earth. You know, we have had so many awful things happening over the weekend. Another shooting in Texas. It's just, we're just going some stuff right now. We just need to get ready and get prepared because our pastor says all the time, you don't have to be old to pass on. And we need to be ready at all times to know that God is coming back. And we need to be ready. So, Mother, I am going to actually turn it over to you this morning to open us up in prayer as we move forward in the Word today. And for those that are just joining us, we are a Bible study. Study the Word of God. And Mother loves the Bible just like I do. She gets all giddy for Jesus, too. And we just love to read it and study it, and we love sharing what we do with you. And I'm going to give you the scriptures that we'll be going over this morning on this 8th day of May. Grace and new beginnings, Mother. Grace and new beginnings, and also Sister Carolyn's birthday. So happy birthday to Sister Carolyn this morning. You know, it's your birthday, Sister Carolyn. You know, we are so very happy to celebrate with you. Just by telling everybody, if you know Sister Carolyn, give her a birthday greeting. And our word for this morning is 1 Samuel chapter 18 through 19, verse 24. Our psalm this morning is the 58th psalm, verses 1 through 11. Our proverb this morning is the 15th proverb, chapter, verses 27 through 30. And this is also where our title comes from. The Lord is far from the wicked, but his heart hears the prayer of the righteous. Again, the Lord is far from the wicked. We're going to see some wicked actions from a certain king. We're going to hear the prayers of a certain righteous man in our psalms this morning. And our testament word is Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 35. So we are going to turn it over to Mother Valerie. And Mother Valerie, good morning again. I pray all is well with you.
Amen. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, saints of God. This is a beautiful day.
Amen.
I mean, God woke us up.
I am getting off as Mother Valerie takes over. And back after she finishes the Old Testament word, and we're going to talk about what the Bible says about the deadliness of anger. And Mother Valerie will be with you with some life lessons. I'll be back for what the Bible says. In the meantime, Mother Valerie is in this beautiful rainy morning as we pray to God, send the rain. He's sending the rain for our farmers. Sending the rain for our trees, sending the rain to cleanse the earth. So we thank you, God, for the rain this morning. Mother Valerie, it's all yours.
Amen. Like I said, this morning, what woke me up, I heard a loud noise, and that was the thunder. God was just thundering. And it was beautiful. It woke me up, and I got up and said, oh, it's 20 minutes to 7. God is just a good God. He wakes you up. You don't wake yourself up. God wakes you up. Rita says, my sister Rita says, it has to rain in order for it to bring in the flowers and the green of the grass and the flowers turn beautiful. So we really do have to have rain. And farmers have to have the rain so we can have food. So it's a beautiful day, rain or not. It's gorgeous. And probably when I have to go out in it tonight and bring it to the table, it'll stop raining. God is just good. He's good all the time. Lord, we thank and praise you for another day. We thank and praise you for all that you do, will do, have done. God, we honor you. We bow our knees to Jehovah, the great I am. He is God. There is no other God. God bless this lesson. Bless our pastors and keep us all safe and warm. And we will praise you and give you thanks, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. 1 Samuel 16:1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse Benjamite, for I have provided myself as a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? Saul hears it, he will kill me. Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice. I'll show you what you shall do. You shall anoint me, the one I named to you. Samuel did what the Lord said, went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come peacefully? He said, peacefully? I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourself. Come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons, invited them to the sacrifice. So it was, when they came, that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord anointed is before him. Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So Jesse called Abinadab, made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, Lord has not chosen thee. Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep. Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruby, bright-eyed, and good-looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil. My Lord, God don't look at, God looks at the heart. We look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brother. Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing period from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is skillful player on the harp. It shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you should be well. Saul said to his servant, provide me now a man who can play well. Bring him to me. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Benjaminite, who is skillful in plan, a mighty man of valor, man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person. Lord is with him. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the chief. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, skin of wine, young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul, stood before him, and he loved him greatly. And he became his armor bearer. And then Saul then suggested, saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. So it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand, then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Isn't that something? God looks at the heart, life lessons.
Amen.
1 Samuel 16:7. Man looks at the
outward mother, excuse me. Thanks for reading chapter 16. We read that on yesterday, but it gives us an understanding of chapter 18 this morning, which is today's lesson in chapter 18, why Saul what he was. And he knew David. He knew David. You know, we know that David, in yesterday's lesson, we talked about how David went up against Goliath. You know, God gave him grace. You know, we went over that yesterday, and in today's lesson, we know that Saul is losing his mind. But now we understand why, because God, in yesterday's lesson, and what Mother refreshed today, is that God gave Saul that.
Amen.
Faith is better than sacrifice. And Saul, and he messed up. He lost his opportunity to be who he was supposed to be, which was a great king. So what God is doing in this lesson is he's teaching David, because as David goes in to work with Saul and to help Saul and to play the harp for him, he's also learning the responsibility of becoming a king, which, you know, God will get you set in preparation. And that is what's going on, preparation for Saul, David, to become the king. But Saul is jealous. He's going to get jealous of David. So, Mother, if you wouldn't mind starting in chapter 18 in today's lesson, and thank you again for the overview of chapter 16 from yesterday's lesson. You know, and now, and again, just another overview of 17. Saul, he gets
so
even more jealous. He's afraid of David
and
now. 19?
You want 18 and 19?
And 19. Yes, ma'am. And thank you so much, but thank you for that overview. It was wonderful. And as we go back into chapter 18, thank God for Mother Valerie for coming in and reading for us. Thank you so much, Mother, for doing such an awesome job. And like I said, as Mother overviewed David's kingship, you know, overview again, David comes up against Goliath in chapter 17 with just a slingshot and five smooth pebbles and kills that giant, cuts off his head, brings it to Saul and shows him a thing or two. And again, Saul gets scared. He's getting scared of David now. And so as Mother gets in chapter 18, you know, we're starting to see, I believe, as we talk about this month being Mental Health Month, I believe Saul had mental health issues. You know, and as they say, distressing spirit. Yes, he was being attacked. But I believe that that distressing spirit was, he was probably somewhat bipolar as well and had some schizophrenic tendencies. You know, so as we go into this word, you're going to see Saul kind of starts to lose it a little bit. But all we can do is in the word. So, Mother, I'm giving it back over to you. Great word. Thank you so much.
I'm reading in 1 Samuel 18:1-19:24. Now, when he had finished speaking to Saul, the son of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore.
Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan took off his robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it happened, as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women had come out of the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tambourines, with joy, with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced and said, Saul have slain his thousands, and David his 10,000. Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed only 1,000. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul. He prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand as of the time, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence, made him captains over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved wisely in all his ways. The Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Then Saul said to David, here is my old daughter, Merab. I will give her to you as a wife. Only be valiant for me and fight the Lord's battle. For Saul thought, let my hand not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him. So David said to Saul, who am I? What is my life or my family's father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it happened at that time when Meribeth, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel the Midianite as a wife. Now Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. So Saul said, I will give her to him, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Therefore Saul said to David a second time, you shall be my son-in-law today. And Saul commanded his servants, communicate with David secretly and say, look, the king has delight in you, and all his servants love you. Now, therefore, become the king's son-in-law. So Saul's servants spoke those words in the hearing of David. David said, does it seem to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law? Seeing I'm poor and lightly esteemed man, servants of Saul told him, saying, in this manner David spoke. Then Saul said, thus you shall say to David, king does not desire any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to take vengeance on the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. So when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to become the king's son-in-law. Now the days had not expired. Therefore David arose, went he and his men killed 200 men of the Philistines. David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full count to the king, that he might become the king's son-in-law. Then Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, as a wife. Thus Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was still more, he became more afraid of David. So Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went out to war. So it was, whenever they went out, that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. That's amazing. Now Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted greatly in David. So Jonathan told David, saying, "My father Saul seeks to kill you. Therefore, please be on guard until morning. Stay in a secret place and hide. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field. Where you are, I'll speak with my father about you. Then what I observe, I'll tell you." Thus Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father and said to him, "Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been very good toward you. For he took his life in his hand and killed the Philistine. Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood to kill David without a cause?" So Saul heeded the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, "As the Lord liveth, he shall not be killed." Then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him all these things. So Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. And there was war again. David went out and fought with the Philistines, struck him with a mighty blow. They fled from him. Now the distressing spirit of the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in his house with a spear in his hand. David was playing music with his hand. Saul sought to pin David to the wall with the spear, but he slipped away from Saul's presence, and he drove the spear into the wall. So David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you'll be killed." So Michal let David down through the window. He went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image, laid it in the bed, put a cover of goat's hair to his head, covered it with clothes. So when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He is sick." Then Saul sent the messengers back to see David, saying, "Bring him up to me in the bed that I may kill him." When the messengers had come in, there was was the image in the bed with a cover of goat's hair for his head. Then Saul said to himself, "Why have you deceived me like this and sent my enemy away so that he has escaped?" And Michal answered Saul, "He said to me, 'Let me go. Why should I kill you?'" And so David fled and escaped and went to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and stayed in Nahal. Now it was told Saul, saying, "Take note, David is at Nahal at Ramah." Then Saul sent messengers to take David. They saw the group of prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as leader over them. The Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when Saul was told that he sent other messengers, they prophesied likewise. Then Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then he also went to Ramah, came to a great wall that is at Circus. So he asked and said, "Where are Samuel and David?" Someone said, "Indeed, they are at Nathah in Ramah." So he went there to Nathah in Ramah. Then the Spirit of God was up on him also, and he went and prophesied until he came to Nathah in Ramah. He also stripped off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, lay down naked all that day and all that night. Therefore, they say, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" Life lesson, 1 Samuel 19 and 20. The Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. God can protect his children in the most unorthodox of ways. He do not need weapons of war, fast horses. He can cause even our mortal enemies to act in ways contrary to their nature. He is sovereign. God made the messengers of Saul prosper. Prophesied, and when Saul went to seek David, Saul began to prophesy. He laid down naked all that day and all that night, and therefore they say, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" God will turn your enemy to be your friend. And Saul didn't even know what was going on. He started prophesizing too. I said, God is amazing. Amazing God. He don't need he don't need weapons and horses and spears and bows. Is there anything too hard for God? No.
No, Mother.
Nothing is too hard for God. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he is with the righteous. That's the theme for the day. There's nothing too hard for our God. I can imagine Saul not even understanding himself. He knew that God was with David. The Lord is with him. And the only reason he hated him, he hated David for one thing only, because the dancing girls came out and said David had killed his 2,000 and Saul had killed his 1,000. Before that, he loved David, and Jonathan loved David, but he was jealous of him. Jealousy is as cruel as a grave. Jealousy is a horrible thing to someone. I mean, God will do you what he did for others. Jealousy is cruel. And that's the only reason he turned against it was he was jealous of him. I'm going to turn this back over to our pastor, Bridget.
And, Mother, you know what? I love what you said. You said jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Because a jealousy can put you in the grave. Folks get so caught up in the hatred for somebody. Most of the time, the person that they hate don't have a clue that they hate it. They're going on about their business. The person that's doing the hating is sick, wondering why they got all kinds of diseases and wonder why, because they done that jealousy, eat them up for life. Then they want to know why this person is going on. And they hating for no reason. And, you know, I was looking at the life, what the Bible says. You know, if we want to go over that real quick from your chapter 18. And it says, few people in the Bible exhibited as much anger as King Saul. Saul's anger seemed to erupt when David returned from battle and the women greeted him with this song. Saul had slain his 1,000 and David his 10,000. The scriptures tell us Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased them. And then it goes on to tell us, you know, this overview says, in his anger and jealousy, Saul twice threw his spear at David, trying to nail him to the wall. You know, and you think about that kind of hatred that somebody wants to throw a spear at you. You know, a spear is long and thin, and it will go right through you, through your whole body. And it said, but it put David in position of authority, hoping that David would fail to lead wisely and thus be discredited. Wow. That's some hateful stuff. And it says it required that David kill 100 Philistines before he would give him his daughter in marriage, hoping that David would die while fighting the Philistines. And then what did God do? Gave him double for his trouble. Instead of 100 Philistines, David killed 200. And instead of giving him 100 for his sins, he gave him 200. You know, and I love it says, pursued David continually for more than a decade, forcing David to live in exile and more frequently from hiding place to hiding place. And when I get to my word, Mother, I'll let you go ahead and read that next section. Not only did Saul pursue David, and then I'll be in with the proverb, I mean with the Psalms, because my psalm is actually a psalm when David is running from hiding place to hiding place. And I turn it back over to you for a minute, Mother.
Okay, I'm going to read Life's Lessons of 1 Samuel 18. It says, few people in the Bible exhibit as much anger as did King Saul. Saul's anger seemed to erupt when David returned from battle, and the women greeted him with this song. Saul has slain his 1,000, David his 10,000. The scripture tells us Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. I mean, he was jealous. In his anger and jealousy, Saul twice threw his spear at David, trying to pin David to the wall. He wanted to kill him. But David, in a position of authority, hoping that David would fail to lead wisely and thus be discredited, required that David kill 100 Philistines before he would give him his daughter in marriage, hoping that David would die while fighting the Philistines. Pursued David continuously for more than a decade, forcing David to live in exile and move frequently from hiding place to hiding place. Not only did Saul pursue David without mercy, but he ordered the murder of those who helped David. He even turned on his own son with murderous intent. Saul's anger had to end. It is easy to see anger at work in a person such as Saul, violent outbursts leading to a boiling rage that manifests itself repeatedly over time. The angry person often has visible changes in physical appearance, such as dilated eyes, tense muscles, blood pressure rise, and the stomach feels as if it's tight in knots. It is far more difficult to recognize anger in ourselves. We tend to tolerate a great deal of anger in our personal lives. Some even see anger as a sign of strength or power. God's word, however, forbids such an ungodly tolerance for anger. That kind of anger damages emotional health and well-being, hampers spiritual growth and witness. God closely links wrath with the work of the evil one in our lives. So the scripture admonishes us clearly, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, not give place to the devil. I mean, I'm reading about the deadliness of anger and jealousy. Saul was very, very jealous. He knew that God had departed from him, and God only departed from Saul because Saul was disobedient. Saul obeyed the people instead of God, and that's a horrible thing to do. You can't be afraid of people and obey people instead of God. It's just like the apostle said to the king, should we obey your voice or should we obey the voice of God? Don't fear people. Don't fear people. Fear God. But Saul lost his kingdom because of the people. And then he became jealous of David. Life lesson. 1 Samuel 18:1. The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. Jonathan recognized in David a kindred spirit, a man who loved the Lord wholeheartedly as he did. Their close friendship blessed not only themselves, but eventually all of Israel. We need each other to move forward in faith. That's right. Everybody needs everybody. We need one another. I mean, those are the reasons we go to church, is to be around people of like faith. We draw strength one from another. And Jonathan and David, they loved each other. And that's why Jonathan went to his father and said, Father, why would you sin against David? Since David had came into our household, he'd done nothing but good toward you. He went out whenever you told him to go out, and he came in, and he acted wisely among the people. He said, Father, why are you doing this? He didn't know, or I guess he didn't realize that his father was jealous. When the women danced and they were singing, David had killed 10,000 and Saul only 1,000. And I just wonder sometimes, if the females hadn't started singing, would Saul have continued to love David? Because when David first came to him and the distressing spirit from God was upon him and David played the flute, he loved him. Because even as he played, that distressing spirit from God would leave him, and he would become calm. So I just wonder, 1 Samuel 18:8.
That's so true, Mother.
I don't know. They have ascribed to David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed only 1,000. I guess because he was the king. He was the king. And you're going to say this little poor boy have killed 10,000 and I've only killed 1,000? Instead of dwelling on the great deliverance that God had just brought about through David, Saul focused on what he considered a slight to himself. Saul continued to fear the one he should not fear. In this case, it was David, because he did not fear the one he should have feared, and that was God. Saul's wrong focus eventually destroyed him, and that's true. You don't fear people. He shouldn't have feared David. He should have kept his eyes on God, and he should have went to the throne, but he didn't. He took his eyes off of Jesus. He took his eyes off of God, and when he did that, God rejected him. He rejected him as being king. He can't be king anymore. And it took a while. It didn't happen overnight. But eventually, David did become king of Israel because he stayed with God. He always followed God. Even when he did something wrong, when Samuel came to him and he had did something wrong with Bathsheba, he said, God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. He said, I have sinned. David always went to God, and that's what we need to do. We need, when something happens, we don't do the right thing, we go to God. We go to the throne, not to the phone. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. God, if I did something wrong, if I have thought wrong, if I have looked wrong, if I did something that I didn't know I was doing wrong, if I have talked wrong about a person, God created me a clean heart. And that's what we need to do. Because a lot of times you do things wrong to people and you don't even know it. And you think wrong sometimes. We don't always think right. And Saul just did a whole bunch of stuff. And if he hadn't did the wrong things that he did, God wouldn't have rejected him. He would have been king because God chose him. He was God's anointed. And even when David had opportunity to kill Saul, he would not touch my anointed one, do my prophet no harm. Saul chased him and tried to kill him for a long time when you read the story of Saul and David. But David would never, he would never try to kill Saul, even when he could have killed him, he wouldn't. So God, I mean, this word is just beautiful. God's word is good. And Jonathan loved Saul. He did. So I'm going to turn this back over to our pastor.
Amen.
And I read chapter 8.
It's something about this whole story that just touches your heart when you think about, you know, how much these two men meant to each other. But you got to stop and think about this too, Mother. Those women had also seen the men of Israel standing in fright over Goliath for all them 40 days. Here comes this little shepherd boy, kills Goliath, cuts off his head, his armor.
Amen.
So David was starting to gain a reputation already for being strong and fearless. So I'm sure that didn't help anything when David killed Goliath, because when you go back to chapter 17, it tells you this. Let me go back to it. And David said to the Philistines, you come to me with the sword, with the spear, and with the javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. All the
Amen.
Shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So David never once took credit for the killing of Goliath. He gave it to God. And he told him that the Lord, everything he said was the Lord will do this and the Lord will do that. And, you know, and then when David killed him, and it says when Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this you? Now understand, he's been taking care of you all this time. He's coming care of you this time. That's what he did. And, you know, the thing is that David had been coming, playing his harp for Saul, and Saul asked, who was he? Something not quite right with Saul. So the king said, inquire whose son this said David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines. Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? Like he didn't know who he was. Now, because he did he transform for night? You know, doesn't that, like, it doesn't make sense that he didn't know who David was when David had been playing the harp for him in his distress. Just let you know that mental health is very important. And as we get into our 58th Psalm, David is being hunted by Saul right now. Going through stuff. And he says, do you indeed speak the righteous, you silent ones? Do you judge uprightly, you sons of men? Knowing how you work wickedness, you weigh out the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. The poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deer, the deaf cobra, that stops each ear, which will not heed the voice of charmers, charming ever so skillfully. Because we know that the cobra, the charmer's music, it keeps the cobra from striking. And with the cobra's ears are stuffed, they won't be able to hear the charmer and will strike. And it is break their teeth in their mouth, O God. Break out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. Let them flow away in waters which run continually. When he bends his bow, let his arrow be as if cut in pieces. Let them be like a snail which melts away as it goes, like a stillborn child of a woman, that they may not see the sun before your pots and feel the burning thorns. He shall take them away as with a whirlwind, as in his living and burning wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when the violence. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely he is God who judges in the earth. You know, and when we get down to our proverb, you know, you think about it. You're being chased down like you are a rabid dog, and you have done nothing, nothing at all. And even in his running, he was still fighting the Philistines. Even in his running, he was still protecting Israel every chance he got. And it goes on to tell us in Proverbs that he was greedy for gain, troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. Saul was greedy for gain. He would love being the king, and it was about the statue of the thing and not about the work that was involved. And it says the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Come on now. We got to be careful that we don't pour evil, and that we don't speak negatively of those that we are to respect and love. And I have to ask repentance when I do it, because sometimes the enemy will put a spirit like on Saul that makes you dislike somebody, and you don't want to be disliking somebody because of what they do for God. We all got to work hard for the Lord. And he goes on to say, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Again, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. David prayed, and sometimes David's prayers were against people. They weren't all lovey-dovey, just like the one we just read. But David was tired. You think about it. You can't even lay your head. Just like Jesus said, I don't even have a bed to lay my head on. David, just like his predecessor, didn't even have a head, a place to lay his head for the majority of his kingship until he finally got a little bit of peace. And even then, he didn't really have peace. You know, but he always repented and trusted God. And as Solomon says, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart. And a good report makes the bones healthy. Hallelujah. When you go to the doctor, you want to have
amen,
a good report. Because a good report makes you just feel better. You know, when I went to the doctor, I got a good and a bad report. You know, the good report was that my blood pressure is under control, doing great. You know, just got to work on a few other things. But God has got me covered, and I know this because God tells me so. Hallelujah. And when we get into our New Testament, we know that Jesus has died. He has died. He has been put in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And so now this is the early morning, and the women are coming to, you know, to anoint his body. And, you know, they get there. And this is what it says. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women, meaning they mean Mary and Martha, Mary and Mary Magdalene, are going to the burial place of Christ because they want to take care of his body. And Salome is with them too. And it says this, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were perplexed about this that, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And we know they were angels. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, and the mother of James. And I'm sorry, I said Shalom, I forgot. I said the wrong name. It should have been Joanna. Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Now, of all the people who should have believed these women were the disciples. Well, these 11 men who had been with him through thick, through thin, through up, through down, through parable after parable, through the storms, through the wind, through the rain, they should have believed because he told them that I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. So this is what Peter did, so, you know. And nobody wants to give credit to these wonderful women who said, I'm going. And they went, they followed. We read where they followed, found out which tomb was his. They knew exactly where they were going because they had, as they say, they had scouted it out. And now these 11 don't want to believe them, and this is what it says here. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter also ran to the tomb and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. But he had to go see it for himself. You know, Peter, you know, denied Jesus, and now he said, I got to see this for myself. And he went. And then it says, now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk in our sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, a word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, oh Jesus, thank you, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the store? They rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread.
Amen.
Wow. And then our life lesson for chapter 24, verse 16 says, their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. In many accounts of the post-resurrection appearance of Jesus, the disciples did not at first recognize the Lord, and it took some real convincing to get the disciples to believe that Jesus really had risen from the dead. Usually it took hearing his voice or seeing him perform some recognizable action to open their eyes. Only after they became convinced of its truth did they become powerhouse witnesses for Christ. They had to see to believe, but we have faith in the unseen. And that
Amen.
Is what makes this faith that we have as Christ powerful, is because we believe without seeing, without touching, without feeling his physical person. We feel his spiritual person, and we believe in the thing we do not see, which is our Savior, because we feel his presence. You know, on yesterday, you know, we sung the song that is, I feel a testimony more than anything. And when you tell Jesus, I love you, Jesus, more than anything, it's got to be from your heart. It's not just words. It's a lament of how you feel, how you love, how you care. I love you, Jesus. Anything. And, you know, our other song was Friend of God. And, you know, that song has got me through a lot of stuff in my life. When I first heard it, it touched my heart. Who am I that you are mindful of me, as David said, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me. It's amazing. We got to be amazed by the love of God. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for this great word this morning. And we have a word this morning on a birthday from Sister Carolyn. And the word from this morning that she sent very early this morning was this. Good morning. No matter how difficult life can get, being chased by who you look at as a surrogate father, there is always some type of blessing you can look back on that God has done, gave you a brother like Jonathan. Think back, give him praise, and trust him. Have a marvelous Monday. And all through our word today, you know, this word of Sister Carolyn resonates. No matter how difficult life can get, there is always some type of blessing you can look back on that God has done. What a mighty God we serve, family. Think back, y'all. Give him praise and trust him. And have a marvelous Monday. Keep God first in everything you do. And watch him work in your life. Because he loves us like that. Going on now. You might have the biggest mess in your life. But understand that God is always there to help you clean it up. And the word for this morning that God gave me in our prayer was, fear no evil. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David wrote this in the 23rd Psalm. Verse 4, good shepherd, I'm living under your leadership. I know that you take care of me. I won't be afraid of what may come because you are on my side, guiding me in this life. Your constant presence is my comfort and my peace. No one can take you away from me. You keep your eye out for me, so I know that it doesn't matter what the path looks like. You've got me, Lord. When I walk through grief and suffering, draw me closer to your side. When I can't make the steps on my own, carry me. My good leader, I know that it's not too much to ask. It's what you gladly do. Lord, you know my heart and how difficult it is for me to ask for help I need. Boy, this is all me. This is a word that was strictly for me. Would you answer the deepest needs of my heart with the lavish love and care that you are known for? I wouldn't want to do this life without you. You are the source of every good and perfect gift I've ever known. Keep me close, my God, with the confidence that there is nothing to fear when you are near. And the question for this morning was, how does God's presence affect your level of fear and anxiety? Know that the Lord is with you. Know that he will never leave you. Do not walk in fear. Walk in faith. And know that you are covered by the blood of Jesus. And as our word for today, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Mother, we are up to leave. It's time. It's a wrap. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. And from all of you, I pray in Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you now and forevermore. Mother, it's a wrap.
I want to wish Carolyn a happy birthday. Today is her birthday. And happy birthday, niece. It is a wrap. Fear God and don't fear people. Fear God. It's a wrap.
Amen.
That's a wrap.
All righty. Have a great day, everybody.